If you have food in the refrigerator today, in your refrigerator today, do you realize that if you have clothes on your back, if you have a roof of any kind over your head and a place to sleep, that you are richer than 3/4 of the world's population this morning? Do you realize that if you have money in the bank or in your wallet or in a change dish somewhere, that you are better off than 92% of the world's population, that you are in the top 8% of the world's wealthy? If you woke up this morning with more health than illness, you're better off than 1 million people who won't survive this week. And ultimately, if you are able to come to this celebration service without fear of repercussion or persecution, as we have been, that you are more blessed than 3 billion people in the world today. And we are very grateful of all the blessings and for all the things that the Lord has given us. A couple of years ago, some scientists, some psychologists and doctors, one at SMU, one at UC Davis, decided to see, is there a link between thankfulness or gratitude and overall health? And so what they did, they put together a study that was comprised of 3 control groups. Control group number one was, all 3 groups were asked to keep a diary for a period of time. And they measured stress levels and all kinds of things in these people before they started the test. But control group number one was told to keep a diary of the events that happened in their life every day. And they wrote every day everything that had happened to them. Group number two was told, we want you to make a diary of all the things that kind of unsettled you during the day, all the things that might have gone wrong or were inconvenient for you. And so they kept that diary. Control group number three was asked to keep a diary of all the things in their life that happened that day that they were thankful for. And you know what they found? At the end of that study, they found that grateful people or thankful people, number one, have increased alertness, increased energy, and increased determination. Of the 3 control groups, that third group evidenced that more than the other 2 groups. They also found that the ungrateful group, the group that put down everything negative that happened to them, had higher levels of stress, had higher levels of anxiety, and evidenced greater depression than the other 2 groups. They also found that the third group, the group that wrote down their blessings, were more prone to help other people and were also more prone to achieve whatever goals that they had set. They found that the grateful people evidenced a stronger tendency to feel love. Just because they were evidencing gratitude. And they also found that people who evidenced gratitude generally kind of set off a chain reaction, because one good turn deserves another. And as they evidenced gratefulness to somebody, it helped other people be grateful for the things around them. And so we find that science has actually found a link between gratitude and health. That's nothing new to the Lord. In fact, all the way back in the Bible, God said that ungratefulness or ingratitude was a root sin that led to all kinds of other types of sin. Over in Romans chapter 1, as Paul is writing this grand kind of expose on the attitudes and the sinfulness of man, one of the key statements that he makes is this: for although they knew God, they neither glorified Him nor did they give thanks to Him, but became futile and their hearts were darkened. Another thing that we find in the Bible as we talk about gratitude in general is that gratefulness is one of those things that is God's will. It's one of those areas where God specifically says, this is my will, be grateful. And so a lot of times you'll have people come to you and say, man, I just don't know God's will. I want to find God's will for my life. Well, one of the things that you can know as a certainty is that God wants you to be grateful. In Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians 5, Paul says, no matter what happens, always be thankful, for this is God's will. Another thing we find, and there's a verse printed at the top of your note page, out of Philippians chapter 4. But gratitude is closely associated with effective prayer. Paul said, don't be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving. If you want to have an effective prayer life, one of the elements that needs to be primary in there is the element of thanksgiving. Fourthly, we found that gratitude drastically affects your ability to worship. Do you know why? Because if you're focused on me, or you're focused on yourself, I'm focused on me, or I'm focused on what I need to do to get something that I want, or something that I think I need, I'm going to be so self-absorbed that I'm not going to be able to give gratitude to God and to worship God and to show His worth and His magnificence the way that I need to do that. This is what Romans 1 was talking about again, a few verses after the previous verse we read. In verse 25 it says, and all of this because they traded the true God for a fake God and worshiped the God they made instead of the God who made them. Worship the created rather than the Creator. So gratitude affects our ability to worship. G.B. Stern said this, silent gratitude isn't much use to anybody. So over the next couple of weeks, we're going to look at two specific instances in the Scripture that show gratitude and ingratitude. We're going to talk about some of the barriers and the obstacles and the things that prevent us from being as grateful as we need to be. And hopefully, we'll kind of all walk in together to a whole new experience of the grace of God and have a sense of gratitude about that. Now, the passage of text we want to look at today is in Luke chapter 17. This is the only place in the Gospels that this particular instance, event, is recorded. Read along with me either on the screen or in your copy of the text, and then we'll break it down. Now, on his way to Jerusalem, Jesus traveled along the border between Samaria and Galilee. Remember that. That's important. And he was going into a village, as he was going into a village, 10 men who had leprosy met him. And they stood at a distance, pay attention to that, and they called out with a loud voice, Jesus, Master, have pity on us. And when Jesus saw them, he said, go show yourself to the priest. And as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw he was healed, came back praising God with a loud voice. He threw himself at Jesus' feet, and some of your translations may render that threw himself on Jesus' feet, which really kind of gets the picture, and thanked him, and he was a Samaritan. Now, underline that. Pay attention to that, because that's key. And Jesus asked, were not all 10 cleansed? Where are the other 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except this foreigner? And then he said to him, rise and go, your faith has made you well. Now, as we look at this text, and I'm not going to spend the time to go and develop all the ideological differences and the practical differences and the national differences between those people who were Jews and those people who were Samaritans, but understand that Jews and Samaritans were very different people. They came from the same root, but they didn't like each other at all. The Jews considered Samaritans half-breeds. They considered them dogs. They called them that quite often. It was a very racially tense kind of situation. And the Scripture says that Jesus was in the borderland, was on the border between Galilee and Samaria. In other words, he was in a turf war between these two areas. Now let me show you I hope you can see the screen. I have a map of Palestine. You have Galilee in the north. You see where I've written up there in the corner, the Sea of Galilee. That blue line is the Jordan River. And there to the south, you see Jerusalem. Now, this is important to understand where Jesus was. Galilee was the area around the Lake of Galilee, and just south of it was Samaria. Now, here's the important deal. If you were a good Galilean Jew and you were trying to get to Jerusalem, where does your path take you? It takes you south through Samaria. So great was the hatred between the Jews and the Samaritans that very often the Jews would go way out of their way, would detour all the way around across the Jordan River. They would come right down the Jordan River to actually avoid Samaria. They didn't even want to set foot on Samaritan soil. And Jesus finds himself where that yellow mark is there on the map. Jesus finds himself in that border area. And so he's going to encounter Samaritans. Now, the interesting thing about this situation is that there were 10 men. And apparently 9 of them were Jews and 1 of them was a Samaritan. Now, I want to show you something. That in their common misery, in their common affliction and misfortune, these men had been brought together because they were outcast either as Jews or outcast as Samaritans. They were not allowed in their cities. They were not allowed to live in town. They were not allowed to live with their families. And because of their common misfortune, they also had a common isolation. The scripture even goes to tell us all the way back in the Old Testament that those who suffer contagious skin diseases must tear their clothing, allow their hair to hang loose, and as they go from place to place, they must cover their mouths and call out, "Unclean, unclean," and as long as the disease lasts, they will be ceremonially unclean, and they have to live in isolation outside the camp, outside the city. And so by law, they were isolated. And because of their isolation and misfortune, they had a common need. Their need was what? The mercy of God and healing from God. And then we find in the text that they had a common healing. Look at the top of the back page of your notes. It says, "And when Jesus saw them, he said, 'Go show yourself to the priests.' And they went." Now the scripture tells us that when you were healed of leprosy, over in Leviticus 14, you had to follow a very specific set of instructions. Before you were allowed to live back with your family and your friends in your town and in your city, you had to be pronounced ceremonially clean by the priest. And so Jesus looks at these 10 guys, 9 of whom are Jews and 1 of whom is a Samaritan. And he looks at all 10 and gives a common set of instructions. He said, "Go, show yourself to the priest." Now for the 9 Jews, that's okay. But for the 1 Samaritan, this presents a problem, doesn't it? Because he's considered a dog. He's considered a half-breed. He's considered unworthy. There was no respectable Jewish priest who would see him. That plays into what's about to happen. Now, let me ask you a question. Why do you think, out of 10 guys, that only 1 came back to say thank you? Why, with a common isolation and a common disease and a common experience and a common healing? Because as they turned to go to the priest, as they were walking down that path, they're all healed. Why was there not a common thanksgiving? Was it racial? Now think about that. All of a sudden, if these guys are healed, They're free to go back to their lives, but the racial lines between Jews and Samaritans divide them, possibly. Was it religious? The Samaritan was not a Jewish citizen. He didn't follow Judaism, and so he couldn't follow the religious instructions, and so there's another possible division. Or maybe it was just practical. Maybe they lived in different areas. Maybe, you know, one was from, you know, North Galilee. The Jews were from North Galilee and this guy was from Samaria. And it was just not practical for them to any longer be together because they were no longer outcast or were no longer going to be outcast. But look what happens. One of them, when he saw that he was healed, came back praising God in a loud voice. Now, notice here, this is free, that Jesus healed him, but he comes back praising God. The inference that God wants us to gain from this is Jesus is God, all right? So he comes back praising God with a loud voice, and he threw himself on Jesus' feet and thanked him, and he was a Samaritan. And Jesus is amazed because only the Samaritan came back. Several things I want you to see here is that gratitude will help you take Jesus at his word. gratitude as you look for grace, because there's the root. As you look for grace, it helps you apply faith and take Jesus at His word. Consider, we are all like the lepers. We all have a disease, and it's called sin. And it's a disease that separates us. In our case, it separates us from God, and sometimes it even separates us from one another. And as we seek for God's grace, it allows us to take Jesus at His word. Jesus said, go show yourself to the priest. And they all 10 turned and went down that road. But secondly, I want you to see that gratitude takes you, and this is kind of helps explain what we're seeing. Gratitude takes us to our primary source. It takes us to Christ. Consider the Samaritan for a minute. He couldn't go to the priest. Judaism, the Jews' religion, was going to refuse to take him because of who he was. The Samaritan religion, whatever that may have been, had done him no good up to this point, so he wasn't going to go there. He was going to lose all his relationships with his former friends because they were going to go on about their lives because they had been pronounced ceremonially clean and could return to their homes and all of that. And he was going to be separated from them. Literally, this guy finds himself with only one option: to go back to the source, the one that healed him, the one that did this for him. And so he goes back to Christ. That's why we say gratitude drives us to our primary source in Christ. When we realize what James said, that all good and perfect gifts come from the Father above, that God is the source of our gifts. But notice this, and I've mentioned this now twice. Only in gratitude do you get to touch the heart of God. Think about that. 10 lepers, 10 healed. One comes back and he throws himself not just on the ground in front of Jesus, but apparently he falls at Jesus' feet and clutches him in gratitude. He actually got to touch the Lord. So gratitude allows us to touch the Lord. But then look at verse 19. And he said to him, Jesus speaking to him, rise and go. Your faith has made you, look at the word, well. Circle that on your notes. That's a huge, huge, huge concept. Here's the point, if I can get it up on the screen. How many lepers were healed? How many lepers were made well? One. Disturbing truth is that you can be healed but not be whole. It's possible to have healing for something that has afflicted you and not be whole, because wholeness by definition incorporates more than just the physical. It's mental, it's emotional, and most of all, it's spiritual. How many times do you know people who have been through a tough situation, an automobile accident or an illness or a situation at work or with a family member, and they got over it and they got on with their lives, but emotionally or spiritually, they haven't forgiven? Emotionally or spiritually, they haven't healed. Emotionally or spiritually, they still have this intense sense of guilt. They're healed, but they're not whole. And Jesus looks at this guy, and he says, listen, go. Because you have been made, and the term used in English is well. Gratitude moves us from healing to wholeness, because it goes beyond relief to the realization that someone did something for us that we could never do for ourselves. When you come to Christ and He makes you whole, and you realize that wholeness, you realize the wellness that comes from being a follower of Christ, you realize that He hasn't taken away some of your sins. He has taken away all of your sins. Past, present, future. He has removed from you the penalty of your sin. He has allowed you back into relationship with Him. And He puts His Holy Spirit inside of you to maintain that relationship and to guide you, and as a down payment or earnest money or seal of His approval, that you will never ever again be guilty before Him. You will never ever again be in a situation where He does not approve of you. That Holy Spirit is given to you as a promise of that blessing, that grace of God. God does something for us that you can't do for yourself. When He said He has made you well, He used an interesting word. The Greek word in the New Testament that's most often used in the New Testament for salvation is the word soteria. The root of soteria, if you trace it back, is the term sozo. Sozo literally means to be made completely whole. And so as Jesus is dealing with this guy, He's saying, listen, you didn't just get healed from your leprosy because you recognize the source. You're praising God. You recognize that I am the one who has done this, that your faith in Me has made you complete. You are whole. You didn't just get healed of a disease. You didn't just have the scab fall off. That your soul and your mind and your spirit have also been made new as well. Gratitude, friends, helps us to recognize the grace in our gifts and where that grace comes from. It literally diminishes a mindset of entitlement. I'm not entitled to this. This is something that God gave me because He loved me. It's what Psalm 7 says. The psalmist wrote, I will give thanks to the Lord, and underline this, according to His righteousness. You know what our culture would say? I'll give thanks to the Lord according to my opinion. I'll give thanks to the Lord according to what I feel. The psalmist got it. When we are made whole by Christ, like these lepers, or like this leper, we will have a gratitude that goes beyond a sense of entitlement, and we will give thanks to the Lord according to His righteousness. Faulkner said this, gratitude is a quality similar to electricity. It must be produced and discharged and used in order to exist at all. Well, this morning, as we come to the end, how do you cultivate gratitude? How do you do that in your life? And I want to give you just some real simple practical things. And I want to go back to that study that McLennan and the guy from UC Davis did a couple of years ago. Those guys wrote down, those groups wrote down, this is what happened to me today. This is what happened to me today that really ticked me off. Or this is what happened to me today that made me know that I'm blessed. Some very, very practical tips. Write it down. Even if you throw it away, write it down. There's power in the written, in the process of writing. Say it out loud. As you pray to God, if you find yourself as one of those people who struggle with gratitude, say it out loud. Say it to the people that have done things for you. Thank them. Write them a note. But write it down and say it out loud and practice it daily. And then just like this former leper who left the other nine and came back to Jesus, you know, the process of gratitude, the mindset of gratitude, their time frame is now. Do it now. We've lived too long languishing in this mindset that, well, they know that I'm appreciative. They know that I liked it. They know that I know. Write it, say it, do it, practice it now. As you do that, here's what's going to happen. You're going to recognize all the blessings that you have more than you ever have. I think your stress level is going to go down. Your anxiety level is going to decline. I think your happiness level is going to increase. You're going to have more energy. You're going to have more drive and determination. You're going to be a better person. You're going to be a better husband, a better dad, a better mom, a better child, a better student, a better boss, a better employee. Because you've gone beyond this me-ism of selfishness that feels like it's entitled to, you know what? I got something from them I never could get. And most of all, I got something from God I didn't deserve in Christ. Pray with me, will you? Heavenly Father, as we have kind of been ushered into the season of Thanksgiving over these next several weeks, and we think about our nation and its history and all those who have gone before us and have given their lives and their energies to make this nation what it is, Lord, we are deeply grateful. Father, I read this week that of 160 or so people that were on the Mayflower, only 40-something of them made it through the first year without having lost a spouse or a child or both. Father, we're grateful as we are very mindful of this season and what we celebrate. But Lord, beyond our national borders, Lord, can we recognize what You have done for us in Christ? Father, help us to be like that foreigner. Help us to be like that Samaritan. Father, who really realized, I have nowhere else to go. I'm going to go back to the source. I'm going to go back to Jesus. And I'm going to thank Him for what He's done for me. How He gave me my life back. Father, let us not neglect to do that. Make us a grateful people. Father, we can't be grateful as people unless we're grateful as individuals. So, Father, from this moment on, from today forward, let us be practicing that daily. Writing it, saying it, sensing it, knowing it. Lord, if there be one in this room who has never trusted You as Savior, but I pray that they would find the greatest wholeness that exists in the universe in a relationship with You. Having been forgiven for their sin, having been made new, and having been filled by Your Spirit, Father, may we become whole people. And Lord, if there's one here who has never received You, I pray You would move in his or her heart right now. And if you would like to pray and receive Christ, we want to give you that opportunity. Your prayer might sound something like this: Father, I know that I've sinned. I know I'm separated from You because of my sin. Father, I've done too many bad things for too long not to be aware of that. And Lord, I've tried, but I just can't seem to make it any better. It never leaves me. It just continues to sit on top of my chest like a big bully. Father, I need somebody to pull the bully off. And I believe that's why Jesus lived, and I believe that's why He died on the cross in my place. Lord, I trust that that sacrifice on the cross would take the bully off of my chest. And Father, that You would pick me up just like You raised Jesus from the grave and make me new. Lord, I'm so thankful. I'm so grateful that You did something for me I can't do for myself. Now help me to live like a changed person. In Jesus' name, amen.